Hi, this is Tabitha. I'm calling from Salt Lake City, Utah. Love the podcast. Been following you all for a while. So love the show. Keep it up. I did want to ask, what is a good, like, horror scene that you have seen in a non-horror movie? Excited to hear you guys' response. Bye.
Thanks, Tabitha. I'm not going to lie. I'm not sure about specific horror themes in a non-horror movie, so I'm going to cheat just a little bit and say horror scenes in a non-horror movie. And for that, I'm going to say the one that gave me like deep embedded trauma that I think is actually responsible for my own issues with body horror. Superman 3. When the lady is like sucked into the computer and like turned into a cyborg, like that's not a thing. Like how did that even happen in the Superman writers room? Where all of a sudden they're like, let's just turn this lady into a robot. Like,
yeah,
like that's not Brainiac. Like, what do you? I don't know. It blew my mind, and I watched it again recently, and I'm like, yeah, that still looks pretty messed up. I don't even know what to think about that scene. It seems so out of place. Also, it's like, yeah, let's make a robot out of a supercomputer. Okay, sure. How about Megan? Because she's back.
Megan's hey, Megan. Back.
I'm back. I was trying to think of a song. Like, he's back, the man behind the mask. We need music cues. No. Well, I'm going to just jump on that same train of non-horror scene. And I feel like the one that always pops in mind, there's two for me. And that is Large Marge sent you.
Oh, that's a great
yeah,
one.
Yeah. I mean, nobody's expecting that watching Pee-wee Herman. No. And then the other one, which I think you could probably make a case that this could be like a kid's horror movie, but Return to Oz, Princess yes. Mombi oh. and her heads. Like, what the French toast is that?
There's the entire so much, movie.
Yeah.
The entire
those
movie.
Those wheelers. Like,
oh, wheelers God. Are terrible scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure they say they're trying to kill Dorothy.
Yeah, and the whole thing starts because it's like she's getting brought in for electroshock therapy. So,
it's
you know.
So dark.
It is a very dark horror movie? Non-horror yeah. movie? I don't know. I guess that's open for interpretation, but was
Jim Henson involved at all? It kind of feels like it'd be some Henson Shop creations.
It's quite possible. I'm honestly not really sure. I just remember that being a favorite as a kid and being like, what? That's probably a gateway horror movie for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or like Labyrinth. Like anything
oh,
that's like
Jim
Labyrinth. Henson related.
Oh,
it's a good time.
Or Jim Henson Presents stuff used to be super creepy.
Oh,
to me
yeah.
too.
The Skeksis from Dark Crystal.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Like it was all like, I know it was for kids, but whoa.
Yeah.
Does that create a whole generation of horror lovers or people who hate horror with a passion? How about you, Zena?
Yeah, still staying on the kids movie train. Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. The scene that creeped me out still do to this day is the tunnel scene when they're on that
yeah.
little
yeah.
boat ride, like, and then he just starts screaming.
He
and we're
intense.
Just supposed to sit there. Yeah, it's really intense. You just see some vision, like, it's just chaotic. And then another one, because I recently rewatched this movie. This is Canadian, I think it was like a made for TV Canadian movie called The Peanut Butter Solution.
Oh
from
my
the 80s.
God.
Yeah, my brother yeah. used to rent that from the library for us, and it was just creepy. Basically, this kid, like, he mixed together like this potion that involves like peanut butters in it, obviously, and then it's because it was made by some two ghosts, and then he gets so scared that his hair falls out, but then they tell him to put like the peanut butter, you know, on his head, and then it's just like, what is this? And I never looked at peanut butter the same. This is why I don't like peanut butter.
I want to talk about, can we go back to that era where kids' movies were so absolutely deranged? Because that movie has his best friend who tries the peanut butter solution on his crotch and his pubes start growing uncontrollably and down his pants and out the bottom.
Yeah,
and I'm like, what kids' movie is this?
I'm telling you, there was just kids who's freaked out by peanut butter. And I just don't like peanut butter to this day, like at all. It's gross. It's creamy. Just get it away. And then I guess something that's like
it's gross. It's creamy. Get it away.
What if it has chunks? Would that change it up a little bit?
I just don't really care for it. But
totally
and then another one that is like, this isn't a kid's movie, but this movie, it's labeled like a dramatic thriller, but to me, it's always very horrific. We need to talk about Kevin.
Oh,
just that whole movie
horror.
Is horrific. So yeah.
That's a terrifying movie.
The other thing I was thinking of was what is it? Trainspotting. For those of you who have seen Trainspotting, when the baby on the ceiling.
What?
Hallucination is pretty terrifying.
It is nightmare fuel. And then Mulholland Drive, I believe, with the two, when they go around and find the dumpster lady, which is Bonnie Ahrens, the actress who plays Valak the nun.
Yeah. Requiem for a Dream.
Oh.
Pretty much any
the
like hardcore drug abuse like themed movies. Like there's a theme.
Yeah.
Hardcore drug abuse, there's going to be some horror involved in that.
Yeah, drugs are bad, okay?
Call two.
Hey, John, Megan, and Zena. I am calling from Louisville, Kentucky. My name is Seth. I recently have been diving into the Amityville horror series because I didn't realize how many movies were actually in the series, like 20-plus movies, I believe, and a lot of really interesting ones from the 90s and from the 80s that have kind of just been buried that I never seem to hear about or never really see anywhere. Just curious if you all have dove into this series very much, and if you have, what your favorite one is aside from the first Amityville. Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Seth. I'm totally going to hand this off because I've only seen the first one and the remake. You two have talked about it a lot, like the sequels, and I just sit here like nodding. I have not seen any. Amityville Horror was never in my wheelhouse. So, Zena, you go.
Okay. Well, of course, I love the first one, the 79 one. That one's a classic. Then I really love the one from 2005, Amityville, the Amityville Horror. That one creeped me out. I remember I went to the theaters to see it. And this particular scene with the little girl in the closet and how she grabs the babysitter's hand.
Oh,
and like, God, yeah. Oh my God. I just wanted to leave. And then I love, I don't remember which one this is on like where it falls, but it's the one with the evil lamp. So the evil escapes.
Oh yeah.
That lamp is ugly.
Five, right?
I have no idea. Like, honestly, I don't know where they fall. Just being honest with you, the lamp was ugly. There's a chainsaw that comes like to life for some reason. Poor kid. And then Amityville Dollhouse, which I know Megan spoke about this one like a couple of months ago, but I like any horror movie that involves like a dollhouse, just being honest with you.
Yeah.
So those are my three favorites. But also just keeping in mind too, like this series though, like some of it isn't, you know, I think that they're more fun than actually scary. You know, it's more like it has like that cheese kind of feel for it. But besides from like the first one and the 2005 one, those actually did like creep me out.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Oh, so cheese is fine, but peanut butter is gross, huh?
Because it's creamy.
It cannot be creamy. Cannot be creamy.
No,
cheese
can't.
Is creamy. What are you not? Why are you not having creamy cheese? Are you not from the Midwest? All cheese
not
is
all
creamy.
Cheese is
melted.
Creamy.
Well,
you get
I mean,
a sharp
like
cheddar
cheese. You know,
Parmesan isn't creamy.
Yeah. We should keep talking about cheese. Huh?
We should. We've rebranded since I've been gone.
How about you, Megan?
I am kind of surprised that I kind of expected Zena to say It's About Time. The one with the clock traveling in time. But yeah, Dollhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they get really, really wonky fast.
Did the Amityville series get weirder than Children of the Corn?
Yes, because there's a 3D
quite possibly,
one.
Yes. Yes, yeah. Part three is, that was a whole thing. Three is 3D.
Yeah.
And that has Meg Ryan in it and that lady from Full House.
Mm-hmm.
That's about all I really remember, except for the well monster at the end. I haven't revisited that one lately, but I do like part two a lot, even though it's like the sleazy kind of prequel version.
Mm.
And by sleazy, I mean there's an incest subplot. But I do like how it gets all goopy and monstrous at the end. I like that part a lot. And then, yeah, Dollhouse is probably my other fave outside of the original remake. And yeah, it's because you literally see demons. There's this whole dimension, and it's all related to this dollhouse. I like dollhouses that are somehow mm-hmm. portals to another hell dimension. That's fun.
Huh. Well, speaking of goopy and monstrous, welcome to the Bloody Disgusting Podcast. Everyone, the podcast where we discuss all the disgusting things we love in the horror world. And to help us discuss the disgusting, you know her as the movie critic for Bloody Disgusting, horror movie fanatic and journalist Megan Navarro. Welcome back, Megan.
Hello.
Welcome back.
And you know her from her YouTube channel and website Real Queen of Horror and her infinite love for the genre, Zena Dixon. Hey, Zena.
Hello.
And I'm John. If you're listening to this on a Wednesday when the episode drops, we hope your week's been filled with all the best kinds of horror. And if not, we're going to do our quick round the table for the movies, books, games, or anything else in horror that are making the three of us smile right now. Maybe things that'll make you smile too. So, Megan.
Yes.
What's okay. been filling your heart, you jet set rock star?
I'll go with that. No, I obviously was in Toronto for the Toronto International Film Festival, TIFF, and so I've been watching lots of stuff, but I will talk about some of my favorites. Neither one of these titles have release dates just yet, but I'm sure it's only a matter of time. The first one is Sisu. It is a Finnish movie from the same director who did Rare Exports, A Christmas Tale. I love that movie so much. I'm not even about to butcher his name. But he decided that because, you know, his other movies were PG-13, at least where he's from, because I think all of the full frontal nudity in Rare Exports makes that R over here. But anyways, he decided he wanted to do an R-rated movie about Lapland. And so he did this really, I wouldn't say it's full on. It's not really horror per se. It's more adventure, epic. It's set in... I think 1944, 1945, and it is basically about an ex-soldier who's living out in the wilderness of Lapland. He is mining for gold, hits the jackpot, and loads up his gold and starts to trek to the nearby town to cash it in. And he passes by some Nazi soldiers that decide that they are going to murder him and steal his gold, but they don't know who they picked on. And it is super, super violent. So even though it is not necessarily a genre movie, the gore, the level of gore and the crazy ways that, Nazis die, it might as well. I mean, horror fans will love it. It is so insanely fun and it just escalates and escalates. And just when you think he can't find any more inventive ways to kill Nazis, he does. It's good stuff. Yay. It's a crowd pleaser. I really like this movie so much. It's really gorgeous too. I mean, it's all kind of outdoors, but he finds some unique ways to shoot this and frame the action. And like, it feels like all of these huge production set pieces, but it's, you know, putting Lapland on display. It's fun. It's so much fun. And it's so pretty. It's kind of, I would kind of liken it a little bit to Fury Road in a way, as far as spectacle and whatnot. I mean, they're a little bit different. I don't want to get too carried away with expectation setting, but like, as far as we're in a whole different world and there's lots of violence and it's so much fun. Yeah.
Well, if nobody sprays himself in the face with spray paint and yells, "Witness me," I'm going to think you're just a big liar.
Yeah, well, then I'm a liar because that does not happen. Sorry.
Already sold on it from the title. I don't know what Sisu means, but it's a cute title.
It does say what it means in the opening title card. But does say. It's so fun. And it is the dad from Rare Exports. He's the ex-soldier in this movie. He's the lead. And it's so good. I think that was probably my favorite that I saw of the fest. And then I'm also a super, super huge fan of Jaume Balagueró. He's one of the directors behind the Wreck franchise. He did Sleep Tight. He did Fragile, which John really liked. He's got one coming out called Venus that is part of Alex de la Iglesia's kind of anthology feature film series. So this one is by Balagueró, and it is loosely based on H.P. Lovecraft's The Dreams in a Witch House. But this time it's like a woman who is on the run after stealing designer drugs from her crime boss. She hides in her sister's kind of desolate apartment building. It's like a skyrise. Well, it's not that tall, but it's a tall apartment building out in the middle of the outskirts of Madrid. It's kind of isolated, and something funky's going on in that apartment building. So it's kind of like this siege thriller with the crime aspect, and then you've got the Lovecraftian stuff, and they eventually dovetail, and it does get super gory, violent, and it's, I thought it was pretty fun. Some of it's a little vague in Lovecraft storytelling, which is typical, and then, you know, I don't know, it's just really fun. If you like bloody horror, there you go.
We do love bloody horror.
We do.
So Tip was a success?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Nice. I watched the request from Xena from last week, which is 1975's The Omen, which I watched on HBO.
Good job.
Mysterious deaths surround an American ambassador. Could the child that he is raising actually be the Antichrist, the devil's own son? All right, Xena, why this one?
Because.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I'm glad that I watched it. Mm-hmm. I definitely like Rosemary's Baby more, but okay. I think it's because watching it, I realized how familiar I was with the movie without having seen it, because so many clips between This Is All For You and like the dogs and like Damien's little look over the shoulder at the end and things like that. I had a pretty good idea of everything that was already going to happen. I really like Gregory Peck. And yeah, I think he helped carry the movie for me, because listening to that kid scream, or like scream squeal, and the nanny, who clearly, I mean, come on. I get maybe they're not set up as absentee parents. Like, they seem to be set up like they're loving parents who genuinely care about Damien. And this woman just shows up and they're like, I'm from the bureau when we heard that what happened. It's like, dude. That was good enough for you? What? I know, I get this is 75 or 76, but come on.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. And then there's a evil dog in the house, and, well, Damien's really grown fond of it. It's like, oh.
That's too bad.
All right.
You know.
Yeah, like, go.
I think I do, like, love the movie. It's a good time. But, you know, I never, well, okay, not, there's a couple of children I did want to fight, but I would never fight a kid, but I wanted to fight Damien so bad, especially when he was screaming in the car. And yeah. I know it's like, I'd probably lose, but it's just kind of like, he was just out of, and then those little smile, like his little smirks that he would do, you know, no, you're not going to get away with this, Damien. But clearly he did.
And I have to give it credit, because as far as I know, it really kind of set up the genre, right? I mean, was there anything like The Omen as far as like Antichrist child movies prior to it?
How many Antichrist child horror movies are there besides
I'm
the
sure 70s? There's so many more.
Okay.
Since then?
Since,
I bet there's a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of kids are creepy.
Yeah.
You know, kids are creepy. Well, all the children of the corns, they might all be Antichrist. I don't know. We never really figured out who he who walks behind the rose is. So
a blob.
Yeah, a blob.
It kind of felt like that it might have been one of the original movies that started talking about like the concept of 666 being the devil's number too.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Because that seemed like such big revelatory information within the movie itself. And now if it's a horror movie that involves possession or something that doesn't have 666 or like 3:33 a.m. or something in it, like
are you even satanic, bro?
Yeah, come on. Do you even Satan? And Megan, I'm not gonna lie, I pulled a mulligan. I'm not gonna watch The Innocent, but I have a reason. It's a reader, and I don't have time to do a reader right now. So I went out of my way, took time out of my schedule instead of watching a reader to go to the theater.
Whoa.
To watch Barbarian.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say what it's about, because Megan and Xena have already alluded to what it's about. And I firmly believe, for those of you who have not seen it but want to see it, don't know anything about it. If you've seen the trailer, that's enough. Arguably too much. I wouldn't say too much, because it still doesn't really tell you anything that's going on. But now what you're all about to hear is like 2 seconds of silence. That's because I cut out all the things that I need to suddenly say to Megan and Xena right now that I can't let anybody hear because it's spoilers. And we're back. So that was a lot, and I needed that. I needed to unpack some stuff. I think we've agreed that we will do a deep dive on this probably when it comes out on VOD, when more people have an opportunity to see it or more accessible opportunity to see it. It's something, that's for sure. And I'm going to leave it at that.
Is it Dark Trio approved? Can we at least?
Yeah.
Ooh,
oh, well, it's up to John.
I know. I know we're 2 out of 3. I'm just curious if I was correct in prediction or if I'm surprised. And I don't know. What do you think, John?
Wait. I think that we should save it, though, until whenever we do, like, talk about it, though.
To be continued.
Okay. Yeah. Dun, dun, dun.
And what did you watch this week, Xena?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I checked out House of Darkness 2022 in theaters, but it is now available on VOD. Sorry, I lost track of where I was reading. I wasn't expecting that. Okay, driving home to her secluded estate after meeting at a local bar, a player out to score thinks his beautiful, mysterious date will be another casual hookup. While getting acquainted, their flirtation turns playful, sexy, and sinister. Hoping to get lucky, his luck may have just turned. Okay, so I really, really enjoyed this one more than I thought. So this one has heavy dialogue, but I personally feel like it's worth it, like the payoff at the end. It is like a slow burn, and it has there's a subgenre that we are very much familiar with, but I feel like it has like a new spin to it. I'm not going to say, because the first trailer, they don't reveal it, but the newest trailer, they started to reveal it. So if you haven't watched it, don't watch that trailer, the newest trailer. So, I mean, I personally would, but if you don't care, then live your life. Who am I to tell you what to do? But I mean, I can tell you, I started diving into like Hammer movies because I remember telling you guys that that's kind of like a blind spot for me. I won't say which one, you know, but it has the vibe of like a Hammer movie. And, yeah, I really, really liked it. Like the way, just nice. The build up, the acting, you know, it has a little creepy tone to it. And it's funny. So
I feel like I missed out. I didn't get the memo. Otherwise, I would have watched a Justin Long horror movie this week.
Oh. Well, you can watch
it
tonight.
He's kind of returning to form. And then Tusk 2. He's going to be our little horror guy.
Hopefully. And then the next thing, I finally finished American Horror Stories season 2 on Hulu. So this is just like the anthology horror TV series. So it's not the same as American Horror Story. So with this one, it's just like a whole new, completely new people, completely new story each episode within like 45 minutes per episode. So there's like 8 episodes. The show ended about 2 weeks ago. So I'm not going to lie. The first season of American Horror Stories, I was not a fan, like at all. But I still watched it because I really love like the franchise. And I know that it's silly and I know that it's not perfect, but I just really enjoy it. But yeah, like when it comes to this, it's like there are so many episodes that just literally I wanted more. And I actually think that the last episode Megan may like, it's called Lake. It's aquatic.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Very spooky. Like, I want more of that. That, to me, should be, like, a feature. And then they also have a Bloody Mary episode where it's just like, you know, come on, girls. Why? Why would you do this? But they do. And the way deaths happen to people, they did not hold back. It's very it's very bloody, body horror type of stuff. But yeah, it's kind of like a new spin on Bloody Mary. Basically, Bloody Mary looks completely different. Like, she's black. I was like, whoa, you know, because she looks so cool. Love it. And then on top of that, it's like she apparently grants wishes, like your deepest wishes that you have. But of course, she wants something in return. And then
there's Wishmaster style there.
Yes. And you guys know how I feel about, you know, deadly evil genies. So it has everything I love. And then one of my other episodes that I really love, like, I recently disconnected so on my phone, I have this thing where I can see who's ringing my doorbell, who's pulling up. Mm-hmm. After watching this episode, I deleted it because at this point, I'm good. I don't want to. So basically what happens to this woman, she's just terrorized by someone or something that just keeps on showing up. And apparently it's happening to other people. And it's creepy. It just has like a creepy tone where It's just, at this point, why am I even alive? That's what I would be wondering if it was happening to me. And then, you know, the first episode is about a dollhouse. And again, I really love Dollhouse.
You love the Dollhouse.
I do.
So it's a complete 180 for you then, huh? Season one, yeah. to season two, night and day.
Yeah. And this is like not shady at all, but it was like, I don't know. So like, I remember when they were first like tweeting about it, the show last year, or maybe it was the year before. So it was in 2020. And I think that he someone probably put out there that, oh, what kind of stories would you guys want to see? And so then people were just talking about mermaids and saying any old thing. So I think that they tried to do that in the first season. They really tried, but it just didn't do it for me. There was a lot of stuff going on in the first season, and it that was not it. But with the second season, it was very awesome. Not all episodes, but there's like a couple of surprises, like familiar actors that you've seen before. And again, like the twist that, you know, that some of them have is like really cool. And there's a, I probably should have never said it like that, but there is a smallpox outbreak episode that is just kind of like gross. Oh. That's not really scary, but it's just more disgusting. But I mean, I'm here for it. So yeah, that's what I watched on Hulu.
On Hulu.
All right. Before we move on, what did we watch and how did we watch it?
Oh, did I go first?
You did.
I'm bad at this. I watched Sisu and Venus at TIFF. They don't have release dates yet, but I'm sure will soon enough.
And I watched 1975's The Omen on HBO and Barbarian in the theaters.
I checked out House of Darkness in theaters, but it's now available on VOD, and American Horror Story Season 2 on Hulu.
Before we move on, homework time. Because
homework.
I'll need it. Do I need it?
I am not prepared to give it.
Ooh, Zena, are you prepared? Because I think I have one on Tubi that I want to watch that I don't think I've talked about.
I am, but it's like, what if you hate it and then you hate me?
Well, I'm not going to hate you. You didn't make the movie. And even if you did make the movie, I wouldn't hate you.
Okay. All right. Well, let me... Let me see where
I'm not on Twitter. I don't hate people for the things that they make. So, or the recommendations.
And tagging them. Just to let them know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God.
They're so annoying.
Did you hear what so-and-so's talking about you? Like, why would you do that to me?
Okay. Yes, I can give you something. I'll give you something more that's free, and I'll wait for you to pay for something next week.
Oh, good. Okay. What's free?
Oh, okay. It's on Shudder. Have you seen What Keeps You Alive? Or did I give you that one? No, I didn't. I gave you Alone With You.
Yeah, Alone With You.
Okay, because that was between those two.
What Keeps You Alive? It's not a reader, right?
No, it's not.
Okay.
But it is a good time.
Or I'll hate you.
Or you'll hate me. Like,
or
yeah.
I'll hate you. It's that simple.
It's one or the other.
Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah, and then I just started watching on Tubi that I'll talk about next week.
Cool.
All right. Enough about what we've been watching this week. It's time for Megan and maybe more of us to bring us up to speed on the news and trending topics in the world of horror. So what's going on, Megan?
Much like it happened earlier this year with X, where just ahead of the release of X, they announced Pearl. That happened again. So just ahead of the release of Pearl, they announced a third movie in the X universe with Maxine and Maxine Triple X. And they announced that with a quick video clip that's really just a vibe with a title card and a setting date. And it says it's coming soon. So that quick teaser announcement, it revealed that it was going to be called Maxine. And then, you know, the official announcement said that, like, Mia Goth will be back and reprising one of the two roles she played in X. It'll follow Maxine after the events of X as the sole survivor who continues her journey towards fame, setting out to make it as an actress in 1980s Los Angeles. That's not enough, A24 has been going all in. They put out a casting call because, you know, X and
Dead
Pearl
Body?
No, not Dead Body. Sorry. This sounds like this will be more speaking. But you can try. So They have, you know, they filmed Pearl and X back to back, but they have not yet filmed Maxine. So they put out a casting call, which you can go onto their website and see the details on how to apply and the deadline for submissions, which is September 28th. So you have a week left to get on that. So if you are interested in appearing in that X universe, go on over and get on that. I don't think it's going to be a dead body. Maybe you can you can put that in your casting submission. But I think, like, I've read the rules and it's something like...
I just want to send a video like, listen, I don't want to talk. I don't want anyone to look at me. I don't want anyone to talk to me. I just want to lie on the ground. I don't need... I can be a dead body, or I'm just a guy lying on the ground.
That should...
Like, it's like L.A. on the sidewalk or something. Like, just, I could just be like, someone passed out.
Do Jigsaw from Saw. Like, just have that be your audition tape.
Perfect.
Just laying in a pool of blood.
My audition.
It's just
me lying on the ground.
Nothing. Just like no sound. Just a creepy guy on the floor in a pool of blood. Let's see what they say.
They would pick you 100%.
Cut everything around it so it's literally you don't see me lie down. You don't see me get up.
It opens.
You don't even know
ends.
If I'm actually alive. It could have been someone killed me and sent them a video.
And, you know, it's even funnier when you read the list of, like, what they want you to submit, and it's literally a scene between Maxine and Pearl in the height of emotions, so they're probably expecting some screaming fit, and instead they just get a dead guy on tape. Just a quiet dead guy.
Lying on the ground.
I mean, I'm for it. I feel like you're going to be a star if you submit that.
He fits right in. Yeah, we hope somebody let John be a dead guy in their horror movie.
Fingers crossed.
What if it's does it have to be horror at this point? You just want to be a dead body, or does it have to be horror?
I mean, I'd prefer horror. I guess it doesn't have to be. I just want it to be identifiable. You know, like, I don't want to be like D and Always Sunny, where I'm completely covered in blood and it's kind of hard to tell unless I pop up and yell brains. I want to be Dennis, who's lying on his head with a little blood coming out of his ear. So you look at me like, there's John, dead guy.
Wow.
So you could be in the theater and be like, that's my body.
Yeah. Woo. Woo.
Love it. Yeah. We want this for you. I don't know how we'll make it happen, but we're going to. I'm not sure Maxine's casting call is going to work out for you.
Yeah.
But. But give it a shot. We'll see. You don't know.
I'll get my SAG card as a dead body.
That's
you're like
some people don't want to be top cast typecast, but John wants to be typecast as the dead guy.
I just feel like people would want to like take a class from you on how to be like a dead body. This is like the launch of your career.
I have been practicing my whole life to be oblivious to what's going on around me and not communicate. So I'm ready for this. I got this.
I feel like Xena talked about this movie before, right? Mikey, I feel like there was a whole bit in there where he was practicing playing dead to fool the babysitter.
He was a terrible little boy, but
he was a terrible little boy. I'm not saying John should be Mikey, but there was like some trick where it was like he had a ball in his armpit. And I'm like, huh. So, you know, I'm just saying there could be a drama class on playing dead. Yeah.
So you're telling
first step
me
is to get you
chance.
In there. Get you in the door. Get you your dead guy SAG card.
Boom. Step three, profits.
Step three, profit. This is a super profitable gig, I'm sure. totally switching gears. Surprising no one. Stephen King just released a new novel, September 6th, so not even 2 weeks old at this point, or barely 2 weeks old at this point, and a movie adaptation is already on the way for Fairy Tale from Paul Greengrass. Greengrass is behind Jason Bourne and Captain Phillips, so that's an interesting kind of inspired choice. He will adapt, direct, and produce the movie. King's latest novel is an epic tale that follows a 17-year-old boy who inherits the keys to a terrifying world where good and evil are at war. The stakes cannot be higher for that world and ours as he journeys into the mythic roots of human storytelling. So yes, if you thought Stephen King adaptations and the Stephen King Renaissance was slowing down, it is not.
It's not it's at not. All. Never not will.
I didn't think so.
No. And I get to announce Constantine, the sequel, has officially been announced with Keanu Reeves returning.
Ooh.
I loved the first Constantine movie. I didn't know anything about the Constantine character, though. I was never a DC kid growing up, so yeah. I can understand the people who were upset about the lore and everything else. Like, oh, it wasn't. I thought it was great. I think it's one of my favorite Keanu Reeves roles, actually. Like, he's so just kind of surly and dismissive. It feels so different from the other stuff that he's done in the past. And plus, Peter Stormare's Devil is the best version of the Devil, arguably, like, next, like, Tim Curry.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's so wonderful. But Deadline reported that Akiva Goldsman will write the screenplay and produce the project with his Weed Road Pictures alongside Bad Robot's J.J. Abrams and Hannah Minghella. And Francis Lawrence is going to be back to direct the sequel. So I'm very excited. I can't wait to see it. I'm going to, like, if they go for more of the true adaptation, because if they're bringing it back for a sequel, obviously the first one made money, but people were mad about it for some reason. if they go to the same level of practical effects to recreate the highway in L.A., for the hell scene or what, but I'm all for it. More Keanu Reeves. If nothing else, then it's just more memes about Keanu and the nice things that he does, and we can all use more of that.
Aw, he's so nice. Like, I've met him, I've not met him, but he seems so nice.
He does seem super nice. Well, I just realized that I have some news, too, about Art the Clown. Hey. You know, Terrifier 2. So, you can now order your tickets to check out Terrifier 2. It comes out in theaters on Thursday, October 6th, and it's going to be available in like about 700 locations. So buy your tickets.
Yeah. Two and a half hours of gory Art the Clown mayhem that is unrated.
You need it.
All right, listeners, your turn. Are you a movie producer who needs another dead body? but like pretend, like don't kill me. Like just pretend. Any idea when the Stephen King train will end? You can call or text us at the 224-475-1040. The number is also in the show notes, or feel free to email us at bedisgustingpodcast@gmail.com.
I'm sorry, you made me have this little thing in my head, this image of poor John died for his art. That's going to be on his epitaph.
He wanted
so bad to be a dead body that he, like, you know, he got killed on set.
I'm going to be in a freaking Alanis Morissette song someday. Isn't it ironic? All he wanted to be was a dead body. Then they killed him.
No.
This is why I'm not a singer.
No, that sounds good.
Now do a jig.
My album drops October 1st. Finally, Xena's going to make all our lives easier in the sea of horror movie options and clue us in on what's appearing soon that we should be watching. So, Xena, what should we be watching?
So, on Wednesday, the 21st, we have the documentary series 101 Scariest Horror Movie Moments. Episode 3 will be out. I don't know if you guys have been checking out this series, but basically, master filmmakers and genre experts celebrate and dissect the most terrifying moments of the greatest horror films ever made, exploring how these scenes were created and how they burned themselves into the brains of audience around the world. So that's going to be available for you to check out. Then on Thursday, we have, on the 22nd, we have a horror about a young Edgar Allan Poe coming to Shudder. Raven's Hollow, it will be available. So check out the trailer for it. It looks like it's going to be a good time. Then we have on Friday, the 23rd, Don't Worry Darling, it will be hitting theaters. A 1950s housewife. Well, you guys already know about this movie. I feel like I've just been seeing it everywhere.
Okay, well, that's coming
out.
All right.
It's a theatrical release leading into Halloween, so that's always a plus.
Always, yeah. So basically, it's available. Not today, but on Friday. So you can check it out in theaters. And then we have Blink hitting VOD. A desperate writer signs up for a fully AI-operated retreat to cure her writer's block. But when an unforeseen software glitch occurs, she gets trapped inside the unit with an unstable android and no communication with the outside world. Then we have on Monday, the 26th, the movie Soul Survivor from 1984 will be available on Shudder. I just really love this movie. A lone survivor.
It is a good one.
Right? It's just magical. A lone survivor of a plane crash is haunted by a feeling of unworthy survival. Dead people start showing up after her to collect her. It's creepy. I love it. And then on Tuesday, the 27th, The Monsters will be available on Netflix, digital, Blu-ray. So this is the reboot of The Monsters that's followed a family of monsters Monsters. I'm saying monsters. Okay, well, you guys get it. Thank you.
Transylvania, you know.
American suburb. So this is Rob Zombie's film. It'll be available to check out. Then we have the survival thriller Fall. It'll be hitting VOD. Best friends Becky and Hunter finds themselves at the top of a 2,000-foot radio tower. You have to find out what happens to them.
I want to watch this one.
It looks really good. Then we have Girl at the Window. This one will be hitting VOD. A teenage girl begins to suspect that a mysterious killer stalking her town is not only her neighbor, but also her mother's new romantic interest. And then, just in case if you missed it, Barbarian, check it out. Watch it. And then also, Bloody Disgusting TV is available for you as well as Screenbox.
One of those things might be Dark Trio approved. The other two are for sure. The third one, we'll see. And that's the Bloody Disgusting podcast for this week, everyone. If you'd like to read more from Megan, you can check out her reviews at bloodydisgusting.com and on Twitter at HauntedMeg. Xena can be found on our own website, realqueenofhorror.com, and the YouTube channel of the same name, or at LovelyXena on Twitter. And you can hear me on my weekly horror narration podcast, Creepy. Don't forget to hit subscribe on your favorite podcast app, and feel free to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at BeDisgustingPod, or drop us an email at BeDisgustingPodcast@gmail.com. So for this week, I'm John.
I'm Megan.
I'm Xena.
Grab some popcorn, cozy up on the couch, and watch something you love. Just make sure it's something bloody.
Murder in America is a true crime podcast that covers stories from all 50 states, including stories of mass shootings, serial killers, and lesser-known murders. Do you find yourself doing more research after listening to a true crime show? Well, Courtney and I used to do the same thing, and that's why we created Murder in America. Our podcast dives deep into each case. Our storytelling will make you feel like you're right there within the case with us, watching it all play out, and we do not shy away from the graphic details. If you're a fan of true crime, then listen to Murder in America on Spotify now.
Every town has its dark history. Hometown Ghost Stories is a paranormal podcast that goes town to town all across the globe, exploring the world's most haunted places, tapping into the dusty archives and the darkest corners to bring you the most terrifying stories of real people and their harrowing experiences. Hometown Ghost Stories dives into the history of haunted locations and investigates why and how these places earned their terrifying reputation. Rob, Dave, and Jesse go live every Tuesday night after an uninterrupted documentary-style breakdown on the case, followed by an open discussion with live viewers. Subscribe today to listen to Hometown Ghost Stories on your preferred podcast platform, or watch the video version on YouTube and now Spotify. Head on over to the Bloody FM podcast network and check out Hometown Ghost Stories, if you're brave enough.